morning. This is the Freedom Food Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sin flooded statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael?
Yeah, I do feel it. It feels pretty good. It's nifty. It's wonderful.
All right.
It's been a long, strange trip here on the Freedom Fiends.
And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a PIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at PIPCOT.org.
Yeah. Yep. So what do you want to talk about?
Talk about some music, man. Discussing music before the before we were rudely interrupted by our audience.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that's kind of what the Freedom Fiends is like two friends talking, and then sometimes we go, oh yeah, there's 5 or 10,000 people listening on 25 radio stations. So we got to do our little live sound check here that we do. And so you're going to have something to like filibuster on for half a minute. But how are you, Jeremy? What's up? What's new? Tell me about it.
Oh, not much is new. Just, you know, another day in dog world.
Dog world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm having another day in cat world. Cats are trying to eat me because we can't feed them till tomorrow. Long story, vet stuff. But yeah, they formed a pact. They formed a union, actually, and they're demanding better treatment.
You're in trouble, man.
Well, you can't just feed one of them, you know, or not feed one of them. You gotta, but you know.
Well, you can. You gotta lock the other one up.
No. They're like sniffing each other's butts. They're at that point. Like, oh, that used to be food. Okay. That's
a little prurient,
I think. Let me pull that back. So, yeah, I'm gonna go check. So, I'm gonna mute. Okay, so, check it out, brother. Yeah.
So, well, I'm sorry to hear your cats are at that stage of panic, I guess. I don't know. Luckily, there's not so much going on, nothing like that going on around here. I just have some, you know, guests as usual. Well, I shouldn't say as usual. It was quiet for a while around here, although I still really don't think that anything had anything to do with my issues. It was just quiet beforehand, so whatever. But I have one dog here right now who I love dearly. I've known this dog for probably close to a decade at this point, but he's going blind now. And he's got his, you know, he's figured out the house pretty well, but he still like wanders into things every once in a while. It's just so sad to watch this poor dog. Thanks for joining me again.
Yeah,
I was remarking on one of the dogs I had staying with me here, who I've known for probably like a decade, who's now gone blind. So he's readjusting to being at my house after not being here for a while. So he has to kind of feel his way around. It's sad because every once in a while he just walks into walls and the doors and stuff. And
do other dogs help him? I guess sometimes when they live with other dogs, they'd come help your dogs for the other dog.
Well, he has another dog that lives with him. I think I've actually talked about this dog before, Flo. She's a little brain dead.
Can you say that on radio?
Flo? I just did.
Okay.
She was one of those puppy mill dogs who's used for, you know, pretty much locked in a little box and used for breeding over and over and over again. So she's got horrible separation anxiety issues, and she became very territorial. And just would go like, you know, just like a switch flips in her head, and she just goes a little nutty when she sees other dogs for the first time. I mean, she's good. She's good with her, you know, quote unquote brother, but she's not exactly the most helpful. Like, she wants to make sure she knows where he is at all times, but that's just because she's like nosy.
You're buffering a little bit. Turn to the lower codec, just for this time. Yeah,
I am on the lower codec.
I turned your buffer up. Okay. Yep.
Hey, I'm on the lower codec, man.
Yeah, I've had a day of tech hack. Not really tech hell, but tech hack, which is not fun. Yep.
Well, that doesn't sound like fun either.
No. Troubleshooting is it's an art more than a science, and there are processes that can make it work better. You can do it in a certain order, but. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Yeah, there's supposed to be three people on site. There's two on tonight. And it turns out someone needed another piece of cable. So cable's been ordered. And yeah, we're going to do that on the Freedom Cable. Fiends. F it. We'll do it live.
Cables, headphones. It's never ending around here.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the Grateful Dead. People are clicking off the radios right now. Boo? Yeah, and you're not booing because you're like, ooh, I hate that hippie crazy stuff. You're like, I like other jam bands, not the Grateful Dead.
Yeah. Yeah. I was never a big, I mean, I like some of their songs, but it was usually the, you know, more popular ones that I heard. And I was just like, yeah, that's kind of catchy. But I never followed the Dead. I don't think I've owned a single album ever. And you know, I maybe have like one or two if I ever had like one. I never actually owned an iPod, but whenever I had things like that, I maybe owned like, you know, I maybe had like one, maybe one or two songs. You know, not my thing. I was more of a, you know, Dave Matthews gets kind of jam bandy, especially live. Rusted Root. I'm a big fan of stuff like that, but never the Dead. No, I hated Fish. My one sister and I, the actress actually, we're big into
Sheldon
big
Cooper's into, sister.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. We were both
Sheldon Cooper, dude.
Believe me, I've been compared to him more times than I care to admit in my life. Ever since that show came around, that sister and I were huge Jimmy Buffett fans. Actually, both my sisters and I, we were pretty big Jimmy Buffett fans. And he has that jam band feel to him when he plays live too. But she got really big into Fish and tried to drag me over that way too. And I was just like, I tried listening, and I was just like, no. No, which I don't know why it was. It felt like some kind of assault on my ears. I don't know. Yeah, I just never couldn't get into it. Not my thing.
Yeah. By the way, taxation is theft. I want to get that out of it because we have a, you know, there's a, the libertarian social contract says that we have to say that every segment or every four segments if we're not talking about that specifically.
Did you see my Ghostbusters taxation is theft meme today?
No. Describe it. Do some visual on the radio humor.
Oh, I could do that. Well, for anybody who's seen the Ghostbusters, the original one, I didn't bother to see the remake that they just did recently. But the original one, the scene when they're on top, when they're all on top of the building right before the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man comes out, and they're all scattered, and whatchamacallit, oh, what the heck was the Winston, the guy, the black guy played by Ernie. Oh,
hey, why Ernie does he Hudson. Have to be black?
I don't know why he had to be, but he was. Ernie
you
Hudson.
You mean the tall guy?
Yeah, that too. No, because wasn't what's his name?
I don't know. I'm not
anyway.
A huge fan of those movies.
Anyways, he's laying on top of the thing and he screams at Dan Aykroyd's character and says, "Ray, when someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes." So I just, you know, you just twist the words a little bit. So Ray, when someone asks you what taxation is, you say theft.
I did see that, and I was like, I don't get it. That was a few days ago, right?
No, I put that out today. I thought.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh. I guess I saw some other taxation is theft meme with a movie I didn't see from the same era, and it kind of ran together.
Never saw
head.
Ghostbusters?
No. Well, I've seen parts of it on TV, late night TV, when I'm bored and will watch anything. You know, I've seen the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and thought, that's pretty cool. And I've seen the guys running around some hotel chasing blobs with their, you know, ray guns or whatever, plasma guns. I don't know. What kind of guns? What are those guns?
They weren't guns. They were used to trap ghosts.
Well, they shot something at a ghost that did something.
Yeah,
to a ghost,
I forgot what the, you know? the term was for it.
But did you ever notice that Batman?
Comedy, man.
Batman never used a gun, although he used a lot of things that were like guns. You know, they
not
shot
true.
Ropes or one, oh, really?
Well, the movie ones he usually doesn't, but if the Batman is. There's so many different versions of Batman, and there are multiple versions of him through different timelines
I was thinking of the 60s and 70s cartoon, which I watched as a kid in reruns and live. And
my
you know,
kids love those ones.
That's
my
the only Batman. As far as I'm concerned, that's the only Batman. You know, we used to have a host on here that was really like obsessed with the new Batmans, you know, the ones with Bane, and he just had to quit the show over that. Like, you know, he and I disagreed so strongly about those new Batmans being, he thought they were good, I thought they were bad, that he finally just quit the show. So
yeah, that had to have been it.
That was it.
They
were
good,
all of it.
But Oh, come on. The Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson Batman was great. But I'm a big fan of the Adam West Batman. And my kids think they're the greatest thing in the world. I actually own the first season on DVD because my kids watched it so much.
Well, because the people that were writing and producing the 70s Batman were taking LSD, and LSD makes you have the mind of a child, not in the intelligence, but in the, like, you know, the wonder of the world. Yeah.
Silence. I guess, to a certain extent.
I heard in a Grateful Dead documentary. Really good Grateful Dead documentary. That's why we started this whole segment. There's a documentary on Amazon Prime. You can watch it free now, and you can probably rent it on Amazon if you're not on Prime. It's called Long Strange Trip, and it's a recent Grateful Dead documentary put together with the remaining Grateful Dead and with Jerry's survivors. And it's pretty amazing. I'm learning a lot of things about Grateful Dead that I didn't know. They're pretty interesting, that I liked.
Yeah, I know quite a few people who are huge fans of the Dead.
I'm sure. They used to be really into guns, and one of their roadies punched a cop at a Dead show one time. And the rest of the roadies thought it was really cool.
Well,
yep.
That scores them some points for me.
Well, because, they were all living in San Francisco, on a block from Haight and Ashbury, and in the 60s there were like tour buses going by with like square people from Ohio who were coming to see the freaks, and they'd stop in front of the Grateful Dead's house with megaphones going, and this is the home of the rock musical group the Grateful Dead, and this is the house where they take their acid trips and play their hard rock, and they were just like F this, and one by one they all moved out to the sticks in Marin County and then kind of became psychedelic cowboys. And there's footage of them with guns, but a lot more interesting stuff than that. Like, they took vocal lessons from Crosby, Stills, and Nash, harmony lessons, and a whole bunch of things. And they had like 50 people, 50 people in their entourage. They were the first band that had that, like even going to Europe. I mean, they brought the roadies had roadies. That was the saying about the Grateful Dead. And I remember Jerry, 5 years before he died, said that he wanted to break up the band. It wasn't fun for him anymore, but he couldn't break it up because it employed all his friends. Yeah.
Wow. There's something to say for loyalty.
When we come back, Woods Gate.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Love the Freedom Fiends. But in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
Wow. Yeah. This show starts at night noon in Central Time, which is where I coined that phrase tonight, night noon or midnight, but then I found out it's a phrase, but it's not a terribly common phrase. It's only got 94,000 hits in quotes.
Oh, that's all
on the internet. Oh. That's all. Yeah,
that's nothing.
There's a word for a word. What is it? A Googleplex? No, a Google. What's the word for something that there's only one instance of it on Google? Do you know that?
I do not know that. I've never.
It's a Google word for word with word only for word. One instant. I don't know. People are yelling at the radio. It's a blah, 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 blah. All right, so I want to talk about the Grateful Dead thing kind of segues into Woodsgate, because the Grateful Dead were so anti-commercial that they didn't care, and we don't care. on the Freedom Fiends, and we don't have the huge following, but we have a following. And one of I was listening to the show last night, which I do listen to all our shows for quality control. At least I listen to the digest, the 20-minute versions at digest.freedomfiends.com. And there was some alt-right guy that was defending Tom Woods in Woodsgate, and I'm burying the lead here for people that didn't hear last night. So there's this guy named Tom Woods who's a very popular libertarian author and podcast host, and I think he teaches
historian. He used to be a historian professor in a couple of different colleges.
Yeah, and he's a son of the South. He's in one of those, like, I love the South, it'll rise again organizations. You don't think he is.
Because he's from Massachusetts.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, how can you live in Massachusetts? I think he's born in the South, wasn't he?
No, he grew up in Massachusetts.
Wow.
And then he moved down to Kansas, and now he's in Florida. I don't think he is. I know he makes a lot of jokes because a lot of his like a lot of other people, gets labeled that idiotic term that came to rise a couple of years ago, neo-Confederate, which is just such a, it's kind of like neoliberal. It really doesn't mean anything. It's just a term used by people like SJW types that are, you know, trying to tie racism to everything, and, you know, essentially. Because you hold certain opinions about the war, the not so civil war, like, you know, it wasn't all about slavery, and Lincoln wasn't really a good dude, you know, things that are actually pretty
well. Those are all
easily discernible
true.
Facts.
And I've heard him talk about those things, and you know, one point he brings up that I definitely agree with is, you know, when people just denigrate the whole Southern side of the war of the states. Of the so-called Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression.
That's my favorite one for it.
I like that one, and I think that was something that was started by Southerners. And, you know, what he says is there's nothing wrong with praising the people who fought in the South because they weren't all fighting for slavery. Some of them didn't even own slaves. You know, a lot of them were too poor to own slaves.
I was going
to
say,
anti-slave.
Only 4% of the population actually owned slaves in the South. So almost the overwhelming majority of the people fighting did not own slaves.
Yeah. So basically what happened was the North came down, went door to door with soldiers burning and raping and pillaging. Of course people were going to fight back, you know? So there's nothing wrong with celebrating the bravery of the people who fought back, you know?
Yeah.
So, yep.
Yeah. That was the last time any American soldier actually fought for any type of freedom.
I know. And, you know, this is the kind of stuff that gets your phone tapped and gets your door kicked in, or at least gets you on a list. But, you know, a lot of the people in the Middle East that are fighting American soldiers are, not all of them are bad guys who are aggressing against the U.S. Some of them are people who are fighting back, defending their neighborhood or their town or whatever, you know.
Again, most of them are.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not even some, it's most.
Yeah, no, Tom Woods is in something like that. I can't remember the name.
He might be.
I'm going to find it during the break. But, he's weird because he's an anarchist, or he talks a lot about anarchy, but his picture on Twitter is him posed in front of an American flag.
I really don't think that's I mean, that might just be something to sucker people in, because I heard the show from last night. It might be, or it might just honestly be a picture he really likes of himself that was taken at some speech he gave, which he gives a lot of them, and depending where he is, they may have a flag up, you know?
Okay, here's an article on Daily Code. Well, yeah, you can crop any picture any way you want. You know, it's cropped intentionally, so he's in there. Okay,
it took him how long to fix his audio issues, and he still has issues with his thing. Do you think he's really on top of cropping pictures?
Okay, he's in something called the League of the South. And I'm not.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, that's just something I'm saying in passing now. So if anyone wants to Google that, play the home board version of the Fiends, the League of the South, and we'll be back. Southern Nationalist Organization.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it.
We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Yep. Yeah, it's Tom Woods in the Lee of the South, which is a... I don't care what people belong to. I just mentioned it yesterday and mentioned it today and finally found the name of it. You know, my brother is in the Sons of the American Revolution, which is another organization for, you know, people who like to play dress up for things that went before them.
LARPers.
LARPers. Not enough either of these organizations dress up, but you know, it's kind of, I just think, I don't know, I don't, and I know that people who are in these organizations are like, why don't, you know, if I say, I don't venerate, you know, what my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather did, and why should you?
I don't even know what my great-great-great-great-grandfather did.
Well, I do, because I have my brother's information from his Sons of the American Revolution. They had to, you have to trace your lineage, so let me tell you how my
I never did any of that.
My great-great, well, I think it's absurd. I'm more interested in my DNA, you know, but than I am in what right, people so
how many
did.
Great, how many greats back is this?
Five.
Wow.
Yeah, because to be in this organization, you have to have a direct lineage with someone who fought in the Revolutionary War on the American side. And
oh yeah,
we do, and it was my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, Joseph Cornish. Oh, wait, is it maybe six?
Like the gay man?
No, it's... like the game hen, yes, Cornish, who was a private with Captain Kirkland in the 6th Regiment Connecticut line, and he was killed in action. So let's get this on the, let's read this into the, we'll get back to Woodsgate, but let me read this into the Congressional Fiends record, into the Fiends, here's the Fiends lines of succession entry for my family. So let's see, my dad's father was Ernest Bevin Dean of Ashland, Nebraska. His father was Benjamin E. Vital of Cattaraugus, New York. His father, of what?
You said your grandfather's name was Ernest?
Yeah.
Okay, so the E in your great-grandfather's name was likely Ernest. Okay.
Yeah. Ah, gotcha. Yeah, Benjamin, let's say Ernest, allegedly Vital. No, yeah, probably was. So then, and that's my dad, you know. So his father was Zelotus Graham. I don't even know how to say that.
Zelotus? Wow.
Z-E-L-O-T-U-S Graham of Chautauqua, New York and Sherman, New York. His father was the Reverend Joel Denton Cornish of Dutchess, New York. And his father was Aaron Cornish of New London, Connecticut, and his father was Joseph Cornish of New London, Connecticut, who died like in the Revolutionary War on the American side. Like the what? The like game hen. You like that, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
I
why not?
Some Cornish
yeah.
game hen. It's delicious.
Yep. So, you know, that's another organization that probably isn't technically racist and may have a couple black members, like the Sons of the South, I think, do also, I think.
Well, the Sons of the Revolution are more just, I don't think race plays any part in it.
Well, yeah, I mean, Connecticut is about as un-Southern as you can get, you know. I mean, when people, like that commercial for the Picante.
Kind of.
The Picante sauce where they got what?
Well, they got like that blue blood aristocraty stuff going on up there, which is very, very close to like the Southern gentleman type deal.
Yeah, it's kind of, and it sounds a little more English too. The, well, I mean, I do declare that, you know, they call it, you know what the name for that is? It's called Long Island Lockjaw, that accent.
That's, yeah.
It's also known as a Mid-Atlantic accent.
Horrible accent. The thing is,
a lot of people who are not from Long Island had that accent like 60 or 70 years ago because theater schools where actors would go to learn acting used to teach that's the correct way to enunciate English. So,
oh my gosh, that's horrible. Really?
Yeah, if you listen to a lot of old movies, a lot of actors, especially men, have that accent. You know, I even playing people in the South, I think in, what is it, Frankly Scarlet, I Don't Give a Darn, what's that movie?
Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, I think that the Southern people in that have that accent too, which they would not have. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I never really noticed it. Because I don't know, when I mean, I've lived here for so long, but when I think of Long Island accents, I think of the Long Island moms that have that horrible, horrible, and like the...
Imitate it.
Long Island, you know, like that stuff. Yeah. Like my aunt, one of my aunts used to have it really bad. Like that's how she couldn't help herself. That's how she pronounced the darn island we live on. I'm like, no.
Just man, I'm a mouth breather tight. I'm totally stuffed up and I'm mouth breathing. I made the mistake of using some of that nasal spray. I forget what it's called, but the stuff that comes in the little round bottle, plastic bottle, that like instantly just...
Afrin?
Yeah, that might be it. Let me Google and see if that's it. But it instantly like clears up the most clogged nose to like the most... unclogged nose you can imagine, and it lasts like 12 hours when it starts, but it's addictive. Like by the fourth day it lasts like 4 hours, and I used it for 4 days and then stopped.
You're down to 10 minute bursts now. It lasts for
no but people get up to that and they have to have surgery. Like I'm surprised, you know, if people believe that things should be outlawed to protect you, that is legal, you know, like that's...
Don't
crazy
give them any ideas.
Well,
what's wrong with
you? Yeah, all right. Yeah, but this stuff is horrible, and I've used it before for like a couple weeks, like 10 years ago, and it took me like probably two, like I had like 2 weeks after that where I could not breathe through my nose, you know?
That's horrible. That's like one of the worst things. I hate when that happens.
Yeah, so I'm breathing. One nostril is open now. And the other's not.
It's well, thank Odin for small favors.
Thank Odin for... Yeah, not all nasal sprays do this, but it's oxymetalazone. Oxymetalazine. Oxymetalazine. Metzoline. I guess. And there's a few other, but yeah, there's a bunch of nasal sprays that have that. They, for some reason, they always seem to come in a kind of round shaped bottle, but Afrin does not. It's not like an orb. It's like a normal spray, but there's other ones too that I've had trouble with. One is, I forget them. What's the over the counter one that's not like that? That's a different chemical. One of them I was on makes it so I can't smell. And another one makes it so I smell phantom smells. Like I was smelling the smell, like a really slight smell of exhaust all the time when there was none around, like car exhaust.
That's gonna,
you know,
be
like it would smell. It was maddening, and I didn't know what it was at first until I just said, like, okay, I'm gonna quit one over the counter. Like I'm on a bunch of stuff. I got a lot of health issues, so I was, you know, I was like stopping one medicine for like 3 or 4 days, and then going back on it until I figured out it was both my nasal sprays. So. Now I'm just, you know, using a sterile water and a neti pot kind of thing with some salt solution up the nose once a day, and sort of works, but it got so bad that I went out and got this nasal spray. Anyway, so we're talking about Tom Woods. And this part isn't really so much about Tom Woods, but Tom Woods, I was giving Tom Woods some unsolicited advice, and everyone knows how wonderful that is when people tell you what to do, but I was giving him unsolicited audio advice. The thing is, he used to have bad audio, and then someone, like his whole show, him and the different guests he had every day, and then someone helped him out. And then from then on, he always sounded pretty stellar. And the guests sounded sometimes good, and about 10% of the time, or maybe, I think I said 8% of the time.
Yeah,
8% of the time, like 1 in 12, something like that, sound horrible, like unlistenable. And it's maddening to me as a fan of his stuff, because it's things that are so easily preventable, you know, like using a landline, but you can make a landline sound pretty good. Basically, like using a speakerphone on a landline sounds horrible. Using speakerphone on anything sounds horrible for recording.
Yes.
And also, like, I think he was recording the host a little loud on his end, so it was really crunchy. I mean, it was like a landline sounds okay. And, you know, I tried to help him out a long time ago. Like, I was going to help him. He was going to pay me to help him. And then he's like, hey, I got someone in town that can help me. And I'm like, cool. And the guy in town helped him, but he only helped him. He didn't help him with his you know, guests. And he has a different guest every day, pretty much. So a while back, I wrote him and it's like, hey, your guests don't sound good. I'll help you free. Let me help you. And he never wrote back. So then I started, like, poking him online and saying, like, you know, linking to an episode that sounded horrible and saying, bad audio is a hate crime. Tom Woods is a hate crime. This could be prevented. You don't care. Which I'm starting, my new book, one of the chapters in it is I'm going to encourage people to do that. I think people should do that. I think they should use the phrase bad audio is a hate crime and then the acronym for that as a hashtag. Yeah, and also,
your audio is bad and you should feel bad.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And, you know, what's libertarianism 101? That, you know, shame will replace government regulation. And actually, there are government regulations with television as to the audio quality. Like, you can't legally broadcast a whole lot of bad audio on broadcast TV when it existed. And supposedly, you're not supposed to be able to on radio. But I think that the FCC has just abandoned talk radio. Like, they're like, okay, you guys do what you want and just keep it going in case we need to interrupt you with a, you know, in case we need to kick you off the air and let the president talk on every station.
Well, if that's the case, I say let's push some boundaries here. I'm just kidding.
I mean, don't we? We've been kicked off a bunch of stations for not cussing, for nothing.
I was gonna say, we haven't got any FCC violations, right?
No, and so, we never will. But we're calm compared to a lot of, you know, a lot of radio shows even. I mean, I would say, like, Rush Limbaugh says things that are more prurient sometimes, and he swears, you know, says soft swears. And
what's that crazy guy from New York, Michael Savage?
Yeah, he's out of line. There ought to be a law. No, but
he says a lot of crazy things.
He does say a lot of crazy things. But, you know, I was trying to, like, lovingly, jokingly shame Tom Woods into fixing his audio, you know, and the we got into this whole Twitter war, and it was pretty funny because at one point he tweeted something sarcastic like, okay, Michael, your show's great, mine is horrible, everyone should listen to you, no one should listen to me. And I said that I was going to use that as a blurb on my next book. I don't think I will, but I'll use it in my next book and explain it in the section audio.
You should do it as a blurb.
Okay.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by Bipcot. Thank you for being a fiend.
So another thing about Tom Woods, I keep saying Tom Waits, Tom Woods. So the thing he wrote,
that is.
I'm going to use this for a blurb on my next book. It says, Michael, you have a much better show than I do, and everyone should stop listening to me and listen to you. Will you leave me alone now? Question yes. mark. Tom Woods. Yep.
Perfect. That entire thing.
Well, I'll explain it in the book because, you know, I need an example for my rant about bad audio and how to improve it. And, you know, I like what Steve Miller does. He posts comments on people's sites like, I really like your content, but you have bad audio. Bad audio is a hate crime. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's really what people should do. Like, you know, if you like someone's content, let them know that bad audio is a hate crime and send them to creamyradioaudio.com because it's one page with the solution to all your problems.
Yeah, it is.
So the thing
I've sent many a person there. So go ahead with your rant about Tom.
Yeah, about an hour ago. Well, whatever. This isn't really about Tom Woods. It's about some alt-right guy that commented. You know, actually, some of his fans commented, too. Like, yeah, Tom, love your show, but sometimes the guests have bad audio and I can't listen, which is pretty cool. But so some alt-right dude that's a fan of his. You know, Tom's not alt-right, but some alt-right people like him because, you know, because he's
a hardcore he fancies himself a hardcore anarcho-capitalist, you know, Rothbard and Hop. He's very big fans of them, so
yeah, and he's very vocal about, you know, not liking political correctness and not liking you know, the people's right to all the things we like, but he just says some of them louder, you know, like Ron Paul's the same way, like, you know, the KKK liked Ron Paul, so at one point they were pushing him, but, you know, it doesn't mean he's racist, but it means that, you know, allegedly, a racist world could probably fit underneath his iron fist, Ron Paul or Tom Woods' iron fist.
Yeah, iron fist. Of Ron Paul.
Yeah. Well, on Tom Woods' page, he's posing, he's sitting on a dais somewhere at a speaker thing between Ron Paul and I think it's Lou Rockwell. I'm not sure. So the thing I was going to get at was this alt-right guy said that, he pulled the old thing that all of the fans of Stefan Molyneux are trained to do by Stefan Molyneux whenever they're debating someone who doesn't like Stefan Molyneux and who have a show or any kind of art they do. They say, you know, what's your show? The guy said, what's your show? And I said, Freedom Fiends. We're syndicated on 25 radio stations nationwide. Link. And he said, never heard of it. Now, I can guarantee that he asked me that question so he could say never heard of it. He may not have heard of it because we don't sit around talking about race realism and, you know, head sizes and phrenology all the time, like the stuff he listens to. But here's the thing. It's not bad that not everyone's heard of you. And I grew up in punk rock and, like, it was cool if not many people heard of you, you know, because generally if a lot of people have heard of you, it means in some sense you're appealing to the lowest common denominator. I mean, you know, popularity is cool, but it's not everything. I mean, Hillary Clinton's popular. Socialism is popular. You know, what's that horrible band from Canada people always say? Coldplay. No, Nickelback is popular. Yeah. But
Coldplay, too. Throw them in there, too. They're hard.
Yeah, right? So It's not an insult to me when someone says, I haven't heard of you, because a lot of people have heard of us. A lot of people like us. You know, it's not nearly the numbers of Tom Woods. I'm not saying that intentionally. I keep, because I'm such a fan of Tom Waits. I'm a fan of Tom Woods, too, but I've been a fan of Tom Waits a lot longer. So
Tom Woods has been around for a lot longer than Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. And he sounds like he's been around 100 years longer than he has.
No, I'm talking about Tom Woods. It's not Tom Waits.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Woods has been around.
Talking about Tom Waits. No, Tom Waits speaks. Tom Woods speaks very clearly. He probably listens to the Freedom Fiends. Well, he probably doesn't. But if he did, he'd probably be like, "Man, these guys sound like mumbling potheads." Even though I don't smoke the.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
I resemble that remark. Okay, Spicoli. Yeah. So anyway, Tom Woods, I extend my offer again. Email me at bipcoin@gmail.com. That's Bravo India Papa Coin.
Right on that.
@gmail.com. And I will find a time to jump on Skype with you for 10 or 15 minutes for free and kindly and gently tell you everything you need to do that's easy and you can start doing today, tomorrow. that will improve the audio of the few guests that still sound like they're recorded with a tin can. Oh, you know what? He did click like on something I responded to him today of saying, like, you know, an audio tip. And he clicked like on it. So he knows how his best interest in mind. I'm just using libertarian shame to get the point across.
Worms. Ostracize, ostracize, ostracize.
You know, punk rock, the cooler a band was, the less people heard of them. Because then they're like, your band. That's how the Freedom Fiends are.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Worms.
Worms.
Yep.
Well, this is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite Lift Pair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region.
Yep.
As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah. I got a short attention span. I'm like, what are we talking? What were we talking about last? Like, I went to the bathroom, got some food, sipped some water, came back, filled my water, came back for the second hour, and like, there's all these tabs open on my computer with pictures of Confederate flags. I was like, what happened here, man?
We're talking all about right. Woodsgate, man.
Yeah. So if you, that's kind of that phrase needs to go in the show notes. You're editing, right?
Yes, I am.
For the Woodsgate show? Yep. Lisa was supposed to be on tonight, but she needs a new cable. So we're ordering her cable.
Is that what they're calling? Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
Oh, man. Really? You can't say that on radio. So before we get into... What should we talk about in the next segment? Like right before the break, you know, before we came back, I was like, what do we want to talk about? You know, and I'd forgotten what the show topics I sent you were because a lot of them were left over from the show I did before that we never got around to. And I just clipped what was left and sent it to you. And you're like, I don't know. But there's all, you know, and you said we could do guns and drugs. And I thought, I forgot that we had a separate story about guns and a separate story about drugs. And I thought you were saying, well, we don't have any show topics, but, you know, we can always talk about guns and drugs.
It's kind of meant like which, that. But
speaking of which, there's a new T-shirt. Where can people get that? I don't know. I don't have the link for it, but.
I don't know. James, I think James has it on his Facebook wall.
James Woods?
James Woods, yes. James Weeks.
James Weeks and I designed a T-shirt last night. James Waits. We designed a T-shirt last night, and he's got them for sale. And it's like, you know, the shirts that say, join the military. And it's kind of in like stencil lettering, like would be on the side of, you know, boxes of ammo or something. It says, join the military. And he wrote above it in red letters, don't, and below it, sell dope instead. So it says, don't join the military, sell dope instead. And that came out of a conversation last night on the show, and then some post-game stuff of basically, you know, you're doing more for the world if you do something honest like sell drugs than if you join the military. You want to elaborate on that a little bit before people just go, these people are horrible, and you know.
Sure. Well, I mean, yeah, it may sound shocking to people, but yeah,
but it's true.
I mean, if you're any type of government agent, if you work for the government in any capacity, you're taking extorted money first and foremost. Like that's what your payment is. That's how you get paid.
And explain extorted money first. We need another separate limb off this route here.
So yes, I'm going to keep
while we're striking the
that.
Route. We got to describe each route. Okay.
So yes, well, taxation is theft is the meme that goes around, but it's more accurately extortion because the act of taxation being told that you must pay a fee for services, whether whether you ask for them or not, whether you're going to use them or not, or whether you consented or not, under the ultimate threat of death, because that's what will happen once the men with guns come for you and you refuse to go with them, they can and will shoot you. That fits the definition of extortion.
Yeah, yeah.
So that, you know, that's where that comes from. And yep. Now I've forgotten where I was going with that. You made me backpedal.
Well, that's another thing I learned about the Grateful Dead was sometimes, often, the members of the Grateful Dead would be playing a song and go into an extended jam and want to come back into that song, but no one can remember what song they came out of. That's kind of funny.
I can see that happening.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We're talking about guns and drugs. Tom Woods. Oh, the T-shirt. We're explaining the T-shirt.
Oh yes, the T-shirt
that was made. Yeah.
So that's how they're, any government agent, any government employee is paid, and also all the salaries are usually inflated. I think it's something like a minimum of like 1.25 over what would be paid in the free market, and a lot of these instances wouldn't even exist in a free market. There would be
The only place that's not true, like, it is true that, like, you know, if you're an accountant and you have your own accounting agency, as a government accountant, with all of the perks factored in, you're going to make 1.5 to 2x as much as you would in the free market. You know, when, even if the salaries are the same, or sometimes the government salary is a little less, sometimes it's a lot more, but
no, it's,
you know,
more when you so factor they can, in it's more the so pension, they can tax that money, so they can tax it
higher. Yeah. But the one place that's not true is actually in the military, because private, like Blackwater kind of, you know, soldiers, which the government does often send into other countries because they're not subject to the same, like, international rules and laws of war.
Well, yeah, but that's exactly the point. Who pays for those type of services, Blackwater, or those? It's other governments.
Well, governments do, but they also do private work. They do, you know, like guarding CEOs and things like that.
Yeah, but those
people make 13 times what a soldier of the same rank and experience would make in the military. However, they don't have any pension, and they don't, basically, if they get caught by the government won't go in and save them if they're captured, basically.
Yeah, there's a lot more risk involved, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, so
make more.
Okay, well, that's true. Anyhow, but that, like I said, that was just overall. But for the military, like, you know, what are they tasked with doing? You know, they're allegedly tasked with, you know, protecting freedom, but as you know, they haven't done that since the not so civil war. I think we talked about that earlier in the first hour, and they're out there protecting the interests of lobbyists, you know, special interest groups, big oil, all that different stuff, and they're basically paid mercenaries, because they go in and kill a lot of times innocent people or people that are just protecting their land because there's an occupying force coming in.
You know, there's a famous
an
quote.
Invading force. It's on, becoming there's occupying a,
there's
one,
a,
rather.
There's a quote. There's a little blurb on YouTube. It's about 25 seconds long, I think, of Barack Obama talking about, you know, freelance soldiers like that, and says something to the effect of, like, well, you know, I don't like so much using them. Maybe use contractors for, you know, running the mess hall or things that don't have a combat aspect, but I don't so much like using a lot of contractors as soldiers because it kind of makes a fuzzy line of, you know, who has the monopoly of force in a given area, which is kind of mind blowing because, first of all, saying that the definition of a government is, you know, whoever has the monopoly of violence or force in a given region. Libertarians parrot that all the time, and they think it's a libertarian thing, and it's not. It's a, like, geopolitical. It's something a geopolitical professor would say. You know, it's a geopolitics term, and it is accurate that, you know, what is a government? You know, if you just set up your own government and say, okay, I'm going to be Finlandia, and all my friends are going to come live here, and we don't have to pay taxes, the government around you will come in and make you pay taxes. So the only way that people can do that is, you know, basically have an army. Hey, I have a joke I've been saving for about 2 weeks, and I've been waiting for occasion where we're talking about taxes and the military. So here's a joke. This actually happened. I made this meme that based on something Lou was saying the other day, and it got a lot of shares. And it was something like, you know, ask your status friends, if you weren't forced to pay taxes, would you still pay? And Jay Palermo said that he worked with someone who always pays more voluntarily and gets excited and like brags to his coworkers, like, oh, I pay more taxes than I have to. And I said, maybe they're lying. Ask to see their tax returns. And if they say no, accuse them of stolen valor.
That's pretty funny.
Yep. Oh, I got another thing that's kind of cute. It was so Mark Edge is being a real cool guy and a mensch and running a free ad for me for my new book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, my old new book that's a new version.
That book touched him, did it not?
It did. It touched him in special places. It touched him and his wife in special places. They read it together like a book club and discussed it. And he also said, yeah, I'll put a little banner for you on the sidebar of Free Talk Live. And he told me how big it needed to be. And their banners are little. They're like a little less than an inch by an inch, all the banners for all the advertisers. So I tried to make one that had the full title of the book, which is seven words. It's a user's manual for the human experience, seven words. And the lettering was too small at that size. So I just made one that said, get rid of creepy people. It's a link to the book. That's one of the topics of it. But that can be taken several ways. Like, hey, learn how to take care of... I was in that book. We talked about a book last night that's about getting rid of creepy people, right?
Did you?
That's a joke. We talked about the anarchist book. What's that book? The Anarchist Bible? No.
The Anarchist Cookbook.
Yeah, we talked about Dallas Night, which is also about getting rid of creepy people, but in a different way.
Now, see, that movie, joke. That documentary I did watch. That was interesting.
Oh, well, let's discuss it. So that's called American Anarchist.
Yes.
And it's about the guy who wrote the book, the Anarchist Cookbook,
William Powell.
Yeah, and that's a book that has, like, a legendary status. More people know about it than have seen it. I've seen it once at a gun show, and a little old lady was selling it, along with a bunch of other, like, really shocking books for a sweet little old lady to be selling, like, you know, books on extracting information from captured people. I mean, some of them were like U.S. military reprints of military handbooks. And she was just like, oh, y'all read as much as you want. Let me know. Go ahead. If you have any questions. Nice. Yeah.
But, yeah, I've still yet to ever see an actual physical copy of it. I've known about it for quite a long time. So, yeah.
The thing, too, like for a book that, like, you know, Feinstein has said we need to rescind free speech and ban this book and make it illegal to own, which I said last night, I'll repeat tonight. I have a theory that the government plants this book at the houses of people who do horrible things, because so often, you know, people say, oh yeah, the school shooters, we found a copy, you know, at their house, they had improvised explosive device making materials and, you know, a
copy of the Anarchist Cookbook.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, her browser was open to the Tom Woods show. No, I'm kidding. Totally kidding. It'd probably be open to the Chris Cantwell show, but all right.
Even that's misreporting, because a lot of times it's actually just an Anarchist Cookbook, because there was a lot of other ones that got spawned off.
Yeah,
that came up in the
because it was popular, and there were like, you know, copycat books. There's one called like the Real Anarchist Cookbook or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Whatever, man.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Meow, meow. So we're back. And right before the break, we started talking about the American Anarchist documentary. About
where do we see it? Netflix or Amazon? It's Netflix, right?
It's Netflix, there, yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, that's where I saw it. I actually have both, but yeah, I don't even think I almost never go to Amazon Prime. My go-to is always Netflix. Anyway, right before the break, I started to say the line I threw out there was trying to pin any of those things. You know, we were talking about all the bad events that have been linked to have people, you know, the people having a copy of that book. Trying to link it to the author, which kind of seemed like what the guy who was doing the documentary was trying to get after, because he really kept trying to push the guy about whether he knew about any of these events.
And I think he's fibbing.
They had link. Do you think he was lying? Well, I mean, look where
he sounded like he's lying.
I didn't think so, because look where he had been for the past couple of decades. He was literally in like the backward, like the what, like third world countries with no electricity.
He was in France with electricity, at least where he was living when they filmed it. He was on the internet trying to write to Dianne Feinstein to join her fight against his book.
For the 2 decades before that, he had been in Africa and the poorest countries in Asia and stuff, doing different schools and stuff.
I would think someone would have told him about it, because people knew who he was, which is why he wasn't teaching at like public school anymore, because he'd been drummed out of there. You know, I would think one of those people would have said, yes, and his book was found in the homes of the shooters of blah, 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 you know, list of shooters.
I don't know.
You know, here's my answer to when people say, oh, we found this horrible person with this book. First of all, the book Catcher in the Rye, which is in no way a horrible book that incites violence, was found.
I don't know about that. I get pretty angsty when I read it.
Yeah. How many times have you read it? Are you joking? Okay.
I've probably read it like a half a dozen times, maybe.
But it was found either in the pocket of, like, in the, you know, coat pocket of, or in the hotel room of Mark David Chapman, the guy who shot John Lennon, and then somebody else, too. There was some other, do you know who it was?
I don't remember. I remember hearing stories of multiple people having it, yeah.
Yeah, cultural influence.
And another one that's found in most places is the Bible, so, you know.
Yeah, that. And in most hotel rooms, too. But wouldn't it be weird if, like, hotel rooms instead of the Bible had the anarchist cookbook?
That would be great. My kids found their first Bible when we were in a hotel room on our trip to Michigan.
There's people listening who are like, that's the worst thing I've heard on this show. I'm calling the FCC.
What,
this guy's kids have never seen the Bible. No, well, they've never seen a Bible. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm sure they may have seen one, because I think their grandma, I know my mom and my grandma have them, but they've never, like, they found one in a hotel room. We've been in a hotel room before, but they've never stumbled across them. But, like, I had to explain.
John Hinckley, who shot Ronald Reagan, had the book. Yeah. Oh, Mark David Chapman was arrested after he shot John Lennon, was arrested with a copy of the book that he'd purchased that day, inside of which he had written, "To Holden Caulfield, from Holden Caulfield, this is my statement." Wow. Wouldn't it be weird if instead of the Bible, every hotel had a copy of Catcher in the Rye? Or a user's manual for the human experience? But
even better.
Yeah. No, but my final statement law on all of that is that when they found the Unabomber in his Unabomber-style shack in the Montana outback with no electricity and living very sparsely, the only book he had was Al Gore's book about I forget what the book's called, but it's one of his books about the environment.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, really the bottom line is you have no control over who reads your books, but people want to address, you know, some connection, like, say, the book made him do it.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about the book, too, is that the book, Anarchist Cookbook, is that all of the information in it is contained in many large libraries, because the guy wrote the book by going to a large library and basically plagiarized the whole book from U.S. Army stuff and other stuff and hand-to-hand combat books and revolutionary manuals. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
It was a compilation.
Yep.
That's all it was.
Yeah. And, you know, really, too, like, there was a lot of funny stuff in that book about... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Were you going to say something?
I was just going to say it was essentially an internet search engine before it was...
Before the internet. Yeah.
That's all I did. He just made it easier for people.
You know, there's a lot in the book, too. A lot in that movie that tells you not to meow, not to publish anything that you... Basically, you can't take something back.
Oh, yeah. Never give your rights up like that.
Well, even so, people make copies. You can't take pee out of a pool.
Yeah, man.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Wow. Yeah. Check out the picture I just sent you for the show image.
I'm checking.
It's the new face of the Libertarian Party.
That's lovely.
It's Gary Johnson with naked or almost naked James Weeks for his eyebrows. It's pretty awesome.
That is wonderful.
Yep, that'll be the show picture. So, what are we talking about? Oh, drugs and guns. We're going to move on to drugs and guns.
Guns and drugs, man. Guns and drugs, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I got something really quick to say. Nothing to do with drugs and guns. It's got to do with doing a good thing for a friend. So our good friend and show mate, co-host, John Vives has cancer. He's had cancer for a while, and he's getting treatment right now. And he's, you know, cancer treatments are horrible on the body. And he's also doesn't have a lot of money because he can't really work because he's dealing with cancer. So we're going to put the link for his fundraiser. It's actually not just a fundraiser. It's a Patreon, because he made a fundraiser on GoFundMe. And this is like how cool of a guy he is, who's like almost overly modest. Like he made one and then deleted it because he said, you know, I don't really want to do something where people just give me money. I want to do something for the money. So he made a Patreon where he's doing occasional podcasts of his own. So we will put that in the show notes.
Yes.
Yep. Oh, by the way, it's if you want to just go to it, if you're listening to the radio, it's patreon.com/JohnVibes, patreon.com/JohnVibes. That's it. Yep. So now let's talk about drugs and guns.
Yeah. Well, guns first.
And I should mention that I directed a movie called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, which basically paints the picture of why gun people and pot people shouldn't hate each other like they do. It's based on a concept from Robert Anton Wilson, who started a political party in the 60s called the Guns and Dope Party, back when they called pot dope. Now dope means heroin, doesn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. But it used to mean pot. They also called it grass, but it was the Guns and Dope Party because he actually like said that at that time, you know, something like, you know, 45% of Californians were in favor of legalizing pot, and like 45% of Californians were in favor of marijuana being or of guns, marijuana and pot. No, of guns being, you know, they're into gun rights. And he said, and it's probably now it's probably like 95% of Californians think pot should be legal, and like 5%, probably 10% are into guns. It's got a lot more guns than people think it does. But, you know, he basically said that if both sides got together or both groups got together and formed a political party, they'd be unstoppable because they'd have a supermajority by far. And I'm not suggesting that. I think political parties are dumb, and I think politics are dumb, but I think that if, you know, there's no such thing as half free is the tagline of the movie, and if you like your dope, you should not hate people for owning guns and vice versa. So, guns and drugs.
Here, here.
Go.
Yeah.
Go.
So, there was a couple of gun stories we had, but the first one that comes up is the issue with good old Donnie Boy, the current resident of the awful office. Sending in the feds as promised, because he had tweeted about this previously. But
Donnie Boy, I was like, who are you talking about? The president is Donald Trump. Oh, okay. it didn't make sense. I thought it was like, is that his son, Donnie? Wait, who? I like that name for him, Donnie Boy.
But yeah, so sending in, I think it's 20 ATF, you know, federal ATF agents into Chicago to help clean up the illegal gun problem they have there, which, you know, I'm sure all of the
alt-right people Trumpites have an opinion about that.
I'm sure they have an excuse for it.
Almost all the gun violence in Chicago is black youth on black youth.
A lot of it, sure, yeah.
Yeah, but they're going to just go take everyone's guns.
Well, yeah, that's the problem with it. That they'll end up, you know, I mean, it's hard enough to have guns there. I think they finally started loosening up the laws a little bit around there, but it's still comparable to the insane laws we have here in New York. And, you know, being able to carry it in public to actually use it if you need it, heck no, you know, that's not a possibility. So, you know, and of course, most of the stuff is tied to the drug war anyway. So,
yeah.
It's government created problems. I mean, yeah, they're not wrong that it's black on black violence for the most part. But that doesn't make it any more right that this is going to happen, because all this does is open the door for more of it to happen.
Yeah,
you know, all any of these little moves by any president, doesn't matter what side of the aisle they allegedly come from, when they make moves, you know, when things like this happen and it's accepted and people, their supporters can find justification for it, and then that becomes the norm. Well, folks, that's how tyranny continues. you know, so. It's ridiculous, because like I think there was one line in there that I think the ATF agents themselves were saying, yeah, we're going to be there like permanently now. So it's like, you know, okay, here you go, right away, we're going to be stationing federal troops, essentially, within the state borders, and then we're going to be here to stay. And you know, it's like I said, it's supposed to crack down on the the illegal guns.
The violence, the illegal guns. Yeah. You know, there was an organization called, was it Mayors Against Guns? Mayors Against Illegal Guns? It was something like that. There was an organization
Bloomberg's thing.
Yeah.
Which was insane, because the propaganda they put out was ridiculous.
Yeah. And they had the little problem of like a lot of their banner members that they'd use to say, so and so is a member of, you know, like the people had heard of. Kept getting arrested for, like, I don't know, it was kiddie porn and taking bribes and horrible things. Might not have been, I don't know, something. But there were a bunch of people in a row that did some really horrible things that were members of that organization that allegedly did criminal things and were charged with it. But their whole thing, like, it's a really tricky name, because Mayors Against the Illegal Guns, like, everyone goes, well, yes. I mean, even people who think, yeah, guns should be legal think, oh, well, illegal guns should be illegal. You know, like we don't want the criminals having guns. But the goal of Mayors Against Illegal Guns was to make all guns illegal. You know?
Yeah. Or to just make it like ridiculously impossible to obtain one for pretty much anybody other than the elite.
Yeah. Yeah. It's surprising to me how many gun owners by that line of like, yes, well, if you've ever committed a crime, you should have your gun rights taken away. And I really believe that most normal citizens, you know, law-abiding taxpayers, aren't aware of how easy it is to get arrested for something without really doing something, or how many things are illegal and how anybody can be arrested. And, you know, do you want yourself to lose your gun rights then?
Case in point.
He who cannot be named on this phone call to the world.
No, I meant me.
What? You?
Never mind.
I said you. I said he who cannot be named on this phone call to the world.
Oh, yeah, that one.
You don't have your dog whistle ears on. You didn't catch
it. No, I guess not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but.
Yeah. But, did you lose your gun rights?
Legal gun rights? I didn't. I was supposed to hand over any weapons I had registered, which thankfully I don't have any because, you know, I lost all mine in a voting accident long ago. Anyway,
voting accident. Yeah.
Yeah. I live in New York, so it's a voting accident.
Yeah.
So I didn't have any registered guns, but I was supposed to because of the restraining orders that got put on me.
Oh.
Yeah.
And all you were doing was defending your property and you didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah. Yes, and they wanted to make me even more defenseless.
Well, it's New York State, and I think it was kind of a mind blowing wake up call for people in New York State when they changed overnight, made a bunch of honest, God fearing people, felons, and were putting up billboards to get people to turn you in. You know, not you, but people
in. See something, say something.
New York, yeah. Wasn't it like $500 fine for turning in illegal guns or ammo? And wasn't it something like they went from 10 rounds to 6 rounds in a mag was legal?
They went down to 7, and then they had to reverse that once the gun manufacturers went to them and like, you idiots, we don't have anything like that, and we're not gonna just make them. Your idiotic laws. So we're going to basically pull out all of whatever we have here and money and everything. And it was Cuomo finally had to relent and be like, oh, okay, fine. And they had to raise it back up. They had to raise it back up to 10.
Is there anybody in jail from the period that it was 7?
I honestly don't know.
Because they usually don't with things like that. Like in Washington State, when they legalized pot, they didn't release the people who were in jail for simple possession of pot. Like people who were in jail for something that was now legal that you could not get arrested for, but they don't release.
But it was illegal when they did it. So, they got the time, man.
I think this might be a good time to talk a little about the difference between mala prohibitum and mala, the other thing, like real crimes and fake crimes. You want to do a little on that?
Sure. We can do that. I don't remember the proper, what is that, Latin? I don't remember the proper phrase either for the other one. But yeah, so the difference between, crimes as government sees them, where they just make everything illegal, versus crimes where there's actually a victim, which essentially are all property crimes.
Mala prohibitum is fake government laws. Like, it's illegal to have more than 7 rounds in your gun. Mala in se are things that are evil and wrong in themselves and should be illegal, like murder, rape, coercion.
Theft, yeah. Oh, did you get droned or I get droned? Oh, well, Michael got droned. Awesome. But anyway, yeah, so the things that, like I said, the good ones are the things that you get in. Theft. You back, Michael? Oh, you buffered really hard. You disappeared for a while, like a good 10 seconds. So that was weird.
The mayor in New York has a button that can do that to me.
Well, he's not the mayor anymore.
Well, other mayor. The new mayor is not a fan of guns either. Isn't he over? He's in Meow. He's in Germany,
but he's a crazy guy.
He was to the Antifa.
He was one of the crazy guys that was down in, what was it, Nicaragua with the Sandinistas.
Yeah, Meow.
Back in the day. Meow.
Meow.
Arms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Ever struggle for the right thing to say at a party? Want something to break the ice? Get the free Freedom Fiends Android app, Pocket Alibi. Pocket Alibi will help you have things to say. It'll replace verbal communication when you're not speaking with somebody.
I value your input.
It'll make you the hit of any party.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Will it work?
Not a guarantee.
It's a great icebreaker, too. Comes loaded with hundreds of original funny sayings with great voices and great recording quality. It's arranged into 7 categories. Disclaimers.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Excuses.
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Advice. Fun, too.
Get off me, kitty.
Libertarian pickup lines.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
State speech is hate speech.
Bark for the state.
Get Pocket Alibi today on Google Play for free. Again, search for Pocket Alibi. That's Pocket Alibi, A-L-I-B-I.
Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi.
Does this app make me look fat?
Yep.
Yeah, so back for the final segment.
Wow. 1 million copies of The Catcher in the Rye are sold per year now. In total, it sold 65 million copies.
Wow. Wow. A lot of copies, man.
And it is a coming-of-age fiction book, which also describes my book, Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women, and you can get that by going to michaelwdean.com or by searching it on Amazon. It's sort of a, you know, Catcher in the Rye for the Cash Newman generation. All right, so we don't really have any redemption other than, wow. You know, I'll say something really quick about guns. I think people should be smarter and not post pictures of their guns online, because even in states that don't require registration, that might change that at some point, or there might be national registration requirements, or they might do things like restrict the number of bullets you can have in your mag. I believe that posting a picture of your gun online is basically registering your gun now, because you're not owning it quietly. You should own guns quietly. You really don't post pictures of them. You know, you're opening yourself up to robbery when you're not home. You're opening yourself up to, you know, the neighbor who doesn't like that you don't mow your grass every week and you mow it every other week, and he thinks it brings down the property values in the neighborhood. You know, it opens you up to him calling that number where you can make $500 for turning someone in for something.
You've been talking to my neighbor again, Michael?
Yeah. No, I'm actually kind of paraphrasing things from Boston's Gun Bible by Boston Tea Party, and he had a really great answer.
Was he talking to my neighbors?
Was when people you don't know ask you if you have guns, the best answer is no, but I used to shoot my dad's .22 with him. Because if it's a person who likes guns, you're not sounding like a gun grabber. And if it's a person who wants to turn you in for your guns, you're not owning any, you're not admitting any gun ownership. I like that one. And, you know, it's okay to lie. It's okay to lie to people who, that should be the title of the show. It's okay to lie. The Freedom Fiends. It is. I believe it's okay to lie to people who do not have your best interest in mind and are out to destroy you and want to find things to destroy you with.
Well, yeah.
Let's use that for the title of the show and use the picture that I sent you. That'll be really weird. The picture of...
Yes.
Yeah. Gary Johnson with... plump naked men as his eyebrows. It's okay to lie. Now it's like, are we talking about James? Are we talking about Gary? Are we talking about the Libertarian Party? We're talking about this picture. This picture lies, because that's not really what Gary's eyebrows look like. So I'm going with that. So real quick, Oregon cracks down on gun rights in the name of suicide prevention. What did Oregon do?
Oh, well, Oregon, of course, you know, they're a bunch of crazy progressives up there.
It's weird, though, because it's rural, you know. It's mostly, like, seems like a place where people would have guns, and it is a place.
Yeah.
Well, but Illinois and, like, New York are like that, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, just like New York, it's run by the one major city. It's run by Portland, you know.
Yeah.
So they make all the laws, and they... you know, claiming to, you know, help prevent suicides, and especially veterans, veteran suicides. They passed a bill that basically any police officer or any family member, although it says even later on, like it could even be somebody's roommate, can make a request that somebody be brought in for a court hearing as to their competency to be able to have firearms. So even if somebody's a quote unquote legal gun owner, and you know, just on the arbitrary whim of somebody else who can just file a report, somebody who happens to be close to them.
Wow.
And you know, in these days, it could be for anything.
It's so anything open to abuse, man.
Well, exactly.
I mean, even if this were a good law, which it's not, because if someone wants to kill themselves, they're going to find a way. You know. And but yeah, I mean, you know, you can turn in anybody you have a beef with. Now, is this passed? Is this enacted, or is this they're planning this? Well, they just passed.
So it just passed.
It's
happening.
Yep. You know, government does a lot of what they do under the guise of helping us.
Yep. Always.
You know, they say
and for the children.
They also say that, you know, it's for a 1-year period, they take it away, meow. And there's nothing about how you get that back, you know. So I'm wondering if after a year you'd have to, like, pay for your own psychological evaluation to get it back.
Likely.
Yeah.
You know, pay fees and all that other junk.
Yep. It's been a good show, man.
Yeah, man.
We solved Woodsgate. We buffered. We had a good time.
Arms.